Good morning, everybody. My name is Pete. If you haven't met me, I'm one of the pastors here at DPC. It's great to be with you this morning. Kids, remember if you haven't got your kind of activity booklets, there's some up the back there, you can grab that. There's some activities, some things to help you think through this story of Abraham with us. And I'm going to need your help in a little while, so make sure you're paying a little bit of attention and listen up and you can help me in a little bit. I'm going to pray as we start, so would you join with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we gather around it this morning, Lord, would you work in us by your Spirit? Would you make us more like Jesus? Amen. Well, if you think back to maybe one of your favourite stories, whether it's a favourite movie, a favourite book, we often have favourite stories that we love and we keep going back to. And all the stories that we love, now, what makes them good stories is they have plot tension, don't they? They have times in them when things go wrong and there's tension in the plot. Things might start to fall apart. You know, something painful or unexpected happens and it starts to seem like maybe there's no way out. We're not sure what's going to happen next. Things might even get so bad that things just start to seem hopeless. One of the first stories I thought of like this is the movie The Lion King. Does anybody know The Lion King? Yeah, I'm sure you do. And I'm not talking about this weird 2019 live-action remake. No, I'm talking about the 1994 animated classic. This one. Who knows this one? I think we all know this picture, yeah. Most of us know this story. And I think if you know this story, you know the moment in the story that I'm talking about. It's when Simba's dad, Mufasa, the king of the Pride Lands, dies. Simba finds himself caught in a stampede of wildebeest, and his dad, Mufasa, rushes in and he rescues him. But at the last second, just as Mufasa is kind of clawing his way up to safety, Simba's evil uncle, Scar, does the unthinkable. And he grabs Mufasa and he throws him into the stampede below, and he's trampled to death. Sad. Horrific. And Scar, he convinces Simba that it's all his fault, and so Simba runs away because of the guilt. He just can't face his family. And things just keep going from bad to worse. Scar, he takes over as king of the Pride Lands, and he runs them into the ground. Death and destruction and evil are all around. We're not sure what's going to happen next. Things seem really hopeless. Of course, this isn't just in movies, in stories, is it? You know, this is our own experience of life. You know, there's times in our own stories of our own lives where we get to places where we find ourselves feeling like we're not sure there's a way out. We're not sure what's going to happen next. At times in our life, things can feel hopeless. As we get back into our little story, big story series, it's a series where we look at a bunch of the little stories in the Bible and how they fit into the big story of the whole Bible, which is all about God's plan to rescue humanity through Jesus. Today, we find ourselves at this really kind of pivotal part in the big story. It's a part of the story where for humanity, things really aren't going well. Things are just falling apart left, right, and center. And as we get to the end of Genesis chapter 11, you know, we're left kind of feeling despair. We feel the uncertainty. We feel the hopelessness of humanity's story. If you think back to where we came from, kids, I wonder if you remember the stories at the start of the year in the school holidays that we talked about. You know, the beauty and the blessing of life in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, they're long gone. Because of humanity's sin in chapter 3, they've been kicked out of the garden and kind of access to God's presence has been lost. Instead of enjoying God's blessing, humanity is now gripped by the curse of sin. As we keep moving through Genesis, story after story shows that the world has descended into chaos and destruction. And it gets so bad in chapter 6 that God sends a flood to wipe out and destroy the world. Things start again with Noah, the one man, the one family that God saved. But life after the flood doesn't seem to get any better. humanity keeps spiraling into chaos and destruction. In chapter 11, the start of the chapter we just read, we get this, the story of the Tower of Babel. Yeah, humans, they come together to try and fix the world and to try and reclaim some sort of God's blessing on their own without him. And God knows that this is a recipe for even more disaster and destruction, so he puts a stop to it and he scatters humanity across the face of the earth and confuses their language. Even as we're introduced to the family of Abraham in the passage we read this morning, yeah, things are bad. The average lifespan of people is getting shorter and shorter. Death comes unexpectedly in Abraham's family, and we read that Abraham and his wife Sarah, they can't have kids. At this point in the big story of the Bible, things seem hopeless. What's going to happen? You know, one of the more annoying things that I do when I'm watching TV or a movie with my wife, Deanne, is I try to guess what's going to happen next, and I try to figure it out really early in the story. I'm sure Deanne loves it. I try to think of the most ridiculous thing I can think of, like, you know, the main character actually, oh, I think actually he's going to turn out to be an alien, this guy. Or actually, they're all just dead, this is just a dream. You know, or this good guy, actually, no, he's going to turn out to be, he's the bad guy in the end. Yeah, I think I've got a pretty low success rate, but it's a bit of fun and it winds Deanne up, which I'm sure she loves. And as we find ourselves at the end of Genesis chapter 11, about to head into chapter 12, I reckon this is kind of where we find ourselves. We're trying to figure out what might happen next. Is God going to, is he going to show up and fix things like we hope he will? Is there a way out of the mess that humanity seems to be in? And when we start to read what happens next from the start of chapter 12, what we find is incredible. And so far in the big story of the Bible, we've kind of been flying along through chapters 1 to 11, kind of up high and kind of dipping into the story at times, into the action. But then in chapter 12, the story almost stops and we zoom right in to one man, Abraham and his family. Now, I know he's still Abram at this point, but I'm going to keep calling him Abraham by mistake anyway, so I'm just going to call him Abraham. God's going to change his name in a little while to Abraham. And in the middle of humanity's mess, God speaks to Abraham, and he starts to do something about humanity's problem. Now, kids, as we read through this passage, I want you to help me. If you've got your little booklets there on page 3, the passage I'm about to read is there. It's from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And I would love it if you could help me and listen out for some words, some ideas that are repeated. See if you can count them. I'm going to read it. I want you to read along with me there, and then I'm going to see if anyone noticed. Here we go. Ready? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Kids, did you notice anything? Anyone notice repeated words, ideas? Don't be shy, put your hand up, otherwise I'm going to have to ask the adults. Ollie, yes, great. Oh, what a good kid. Well, I shall wait for his answer first. Yes, Ollie. What were, was a repeated word? Did you notice a repeated word or idea in there? Bless, that's right. Yeah, it was the word bless or blessing. It's repeated. Oh, how many times? Anyone know how many times it was? Shout it out. Five. Oh, you were at the first service. Addie, cheater. That's all right. I didn't plant her in the audience, I promise. That's right. Five times the word bless or blessing is repeated in this passage in two verses. Now God speaks and he announces this flourish, this explosion of his blessing for Abraham and for all of humanity. God makes Abraham a huge promise. It's a promise to bless. Now, here's one for the teenagers in the room. Now, this I know would normally be frowned upon, but has anybody, a teenager in particular, have Instagram? Do you have it right here with you right now? Any teenagers want to volunteer that information? Yeah, here we go. All right, who wants to volunteer to, can you search in the Instagram search thing and type hashtag blessed and let me know how many results there are. Let's give him some time. I've done this already, I know the answer, but I want you to tell me. Hashtag blessed on Instagram, there are 133 million results. There you go. There's a lot of blessed people around there. That's great. And as you look through that, as you look through kind of the hashtag blessed post, you know, there's a mix of things. There's some stuff, some people posting Bible passages and stuff, which is great, but there's lots of people with their shiny watches and pictures of their flash new cars. And, you know, I think we have a wide range of ideas what it means to be blessed. And when we think of this word blessing today, maybe it's lost a little bit of its meaning. But when we read the word bless or blessing here in the Bible in the context of this passage, what it basically means is to kind of be favored by God, to receive God's favor, to be known by him and to enjoy the good things that come with knowing God. Here in this little story, God's announcing his plan to undo the curse of sin from Genesis 3 and to replace the curse with blessing, to restore humanity to the way things were meant to be. The way he created them to be back in Genesis 1 and 2. You know, humans in intimate relationship with God, enjoying him and all the goodness of life in the garden. Now, this is the ultimate picture of what being blessed by God looks like. And so God steps into the mess of humanity's story with a promise to bless. To bless the whole world, and he's going to do it through one man, Abraham, and his family. And God promises, he promises to bless Abraham with a big family, to make him a great nation, even though, you know, we heard before that Aaron and Sarah, they couldn't have kids. We know they're really old. You know, back in the story of the Tower of Babel, humanity, they wanted to make a great name for themselves. They wanted to make themselves look really great. And here God promises Abraham that God himself is going to make Abraham's name great. And in a couple of chapters, God, as I mentioned before, he changes Abraham's name. His name was Abram, which means exalted father. And God changes it ever so slightly to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. God is pouring out his blessing on Abraham. It's not just a promise of blessing for Abraham and his family. No, it's a promise of blessing for the whole world. Verse 3, where God says to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's promise of blessing to Abraham is a promise that through him and his special family, God is going to bring his blessing to the whole world. God's going to restore things to the way that they were meant to be. And this little story in Genesis 12 is the start of God's unfolding plan to do just that. One of the places that we see people make big promises in our world pretty often these days is at weddings, isn't it? When two people get married, you know, they get to the part where they make promises to each other, they make vows, they say I do, they promise to commit to each other, and then kids, the next part, what do they do then? At the end of the wedding, someone over here said it. What do they do at the end? They do something really gross. They kiss. That's right, gross. They kiss. But, you know, these promises that people make when they get married, they're great news, aren't they? That's why the people kiss. That's why everyone claps and they cheer and celebrate when people make these promises to each other. They're great news. And just like the promises at a wedding, God's promise to Abraham, his promises, his commitment to Abraham and his family, his promise to bless them is good news. It's great news. As the story of the Old Testament continues, we see God, he starts to fulfill his promise to bless Abraham. Abraham trusts in God, and God gives Abraham and Sarah a son, Isaac, and their family keeps growing and growing and growing, like we saw in the video before. They grow into this great nation of Israel, God's special family. You know, and at times it seems like maybe things might not work out, but God always looks after them. He always keeps his promise. God's plan to bless is good news for Abraham and his family. And not only that, it's good news for the whole world. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3 as he reflects on this very passage in Genesis 12. And Paul calls it the gospel, the good news in advance. Have a look at it with me in Galatians chapter 3 from verse 7. It'll be on the screen behind me. And again, I want you to listen out and notice any words that might be familiar from before. Paul says from verse 7, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Down to verse 14, he says, "He redeemed us." And he's talking to Jewish Christians here. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's everyone who's not an Israelite. That the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. You might have noticed that word again, that word blessing is here three times. Now, the good news of the little story in Genesis 12 is that God has a plan to rescue humanity and bring his blessing to the world. And that's exactly what he does. And when we get to the New Testament, we find that the good news, the promise of blessing for the whole world has come fully and completely in Jesus. The one who's fully God, the one who's one of Abraham's great, 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 great grandkids, just like God promised. Through Jesus, God undoes the curse of sin once and for all and restores the blessing of life and hope and relationship with him to all who trust in Jesus. But if we're honest, sometimes it doesn't seem like following Jesus is a blessing, does it? Sometimes trusting him is hard. And even now in the story of humanity around us, it can seem just as hopeless as things did back in Genesis 11. Sometimes we might look around in our world and we might start to wonder if God's really kept his promise to bring his blessing to the whole world. Maybe, like me, you struggle with anxiety, and day after day, week after week, things don't seem to get much better. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently, and the pain of death has left you broken and struggling to see a way forward. Maybe you've had hard year after hard year after hard year on the farm, and you're not really sure what to do next. This is the reality of our stories, isn't it? But the big story of the Bible is one that reminds us of God's promise. It's a promise to bring his blessing to the whole world, and he has done it through Jesus. Which, of course, it doesn't mean that if we just trust Jesus more, suddenly life will all be perfect. But it's a story that reminds us that through Jesus, God has been faithful to his promise. And through Jesus, we have the fullness of God's blessing. We can trust God in the middle of our mess. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness to his promise daily. We need to keep reminding ourselves, keep reminding each other over and over and over of the good news of Jesus. Because it's really easy to feel overwhelmed, isn't it? It's easy to feel overwhelmed and to lose sight of the hope we have when life is hard. It's easy for God's promise of good news through Jesus to end up competing with all these other promises of so-called good news, promises our world makes to us, promises that we make to ourselves, promises that other people make to us. But in the end, they're empty promises, they come to nothing. But through Jesus, God keeps his promise. Through Jesus' death on the cross, through his resurrection to life, God has done something about humanity's mess. Our sin is dealt with, and life and hope and relationship with God are restored through Jesus. This is great, great news. It's great news that we can rely on, and it's great news that God calls us his people to proclaim to the world around us, the hurting world, the broken world that desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus, this good news of God's promise to bless the whole world is a promise for you. It's a promise for you that through faith in Jesus, through trusting in what God has done, through Jesus, there is hope. God wants you to know him. He wants you to enjoy him. He wants you to trust him. Trust in the good news that through Jesus, he's made a way for us to be rescued from the depths of our sin and our self-destruction. You can trust in God's promise because he's kept it in Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you're a God who keeps his word, who keeps his promises. Father, we thank you for your promise to bless that you have fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to keep trusting him. Help us to keep trusting him when life is hard, when the mess around us seems too much to bear. We thank you for the big story of your word, the Bible, that reminds us that through Jesus we have hope and life and blessing. We pray these things in his name. Amen.